Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Infinite complacence. People went to and fro the earth about their little affairs, serene in the assurance of their dominion over this small, spinning fragment of solar driftwood, which by chance or design, man has inherited out of the dark mystery of time and space.
But it's an off day. I'm going to do some exploring. I have a couple podcasts today. So
oh, my goodness.
It's a fun-filled day for sure.
Where are you going today?
I'm going to the Chipola River, home of the Cabbage Man, pretty much another version of the Skunk Ape. And there's a couple caves nearby, so I'm going to go check those out because I've casted a couple prints down there. So I haven't been there in a while, and it's really overgrown. So it's going to be a whole different vibe, whole different video, you know?
So the Cabbage Man, he is named as such because he has a propensity to go into maybe plots and steal cabbage from the ground around there?
Yes, yes. He, of course, irritates all the farmers around here, and he does have that old vegetable rotten smell as well.
Yes, delicious. These poor guys, they get the names from their BO, as it were, but that's okay.
Yep, yep. Hopefully when I'm dead and gone, they remember me from my smell. And, you know, recently, Yeti Bar. I'll be all right like that.
That's right. Excellent ad, by the way. Where can people watch this Yeti Bar ad that I watch? And I enjoyed it. So let everybody know where to find that.
Yes, the Yeti Bar ad is just on my YouTube, Bigfoot Anon. It was made by Jack McClellan, this genius filmmaker from here in the Panhandle. He's a FSU film student, and he runs Altered Cortex Design. He makes a bunch of cryptid movies. We've talked about him before with Zillafoot and The Void Cat, but we have a bunch more slated and planned. But yeah, that advertisement / commercial promo was just some light work, really fun afternoon. We were at the Chattahoochee Mounds, which is a pyramid complex of about 6 ancient structures that, of course, they align with the summer solstice and the winter equinox. So yeah, it's a fun commercial and all, but we were on sacred soil, and it was, you know, of course, a day filled with research, and that was just a fun little segment of the morning. But yeah, it's on YouTube and TikTok, Yeti Bars. They are real.
Okay, so Connor, you've been on before. You were on episode 314. I titled that Eerie Road Trip with Connor Flynn, and that is eerie as in E-R-I-E, as in the area, eerie. You are one of our published authors with Beyond the Fray Publishing. Amazing, by the way. You've got 3 books out so far with us, and then today you're actually going, I asked you to kind of cherry pick a few more tales we haven't covered yet, of course, on 314 from actually the 2 more books that have come out since we last spoke.
Yep, yep. I've been so busy, and we've all been busy, and that's the beautiful thing about books it keeps it forever. It preserves it. And as a busy guy with many thoughts and activities and encounters and expeditions, it's fun to slow it down and put it on paper so that, you know, I can go back and read it. But yeah, it's been an awesome journey becoming an author, you know, living up to my own standards of when I wrote to myself as a kid. I challenged myself to be an author, a singer, and a basketball player. But now I'm just an umpire and a referee. So I'm doing my best. I'm not locked in an office, staying true to myself. So yes, it's a beautiful ride, and I'm living it right now. You know, today is going to be another page in the chapter, of course.
And as you mentioned, we have a few things to cover, but let's talk about the fact that you just got to hang out with Mark Muncy, of course, our eerie, freaky, creepy Florida folks that, I mean, he's been on the show, I don't even know how many times at this point, maybe 6, 7, who knows. But yeah, describe some of your time with Mark.
Yes, it was amazing. Mark and Carrie are just heroes of mine. And it's cool when your idols become your friends. And, you know, eerie swamps, eerie Florida. We both got that crazy vibe. And it's spelled different, but it still has the same core. And it's really cool because I got to meet Mark at the Great Florida Bigfoot Conference and chop it up really quick. I think it was like right before I was going on stage. So it was like madness, of course. But then, of course, kept in touch just because we are into the same stuff, the same weird stories. If anybody's heard of them, it's going to be Mark. And then same thing on if anybody's heard of them, it's going to be Connor. But yeah, man, I heard that Mark and Carrie were coming up to the Panhandle to check out the Dozier School before its demolition. And I actually had to work that day, but I work at a cool little comic book stop that is at a haunted plaza. So I invited them up there, and we filmed a little segment for their TV show, Eerie Travels, which it's on their YouTube and also on local Tampa Bay broadcasting. So it's very cool. And from Brunswick, where I grew up, we had a local TV show that some guy like dressed up as like a nightmare and hosted late night scary movies. So it kind of brought me back home again, eerie swamps. It all comes back. But yeah, Mark and Carrie were coming up to the Panhandle. And luckily, they stopped by my shop. We filmed a little promo. The boys were playing D&D that day, so they filmed some Dungeons & Dragons. I told them about the scary stories over at the barbershop. There's like a poltergeist there, demons. A girl has kind of lost her mind. And I feel her. You know, people have kind of thrown her under the bus, but I've seen the pictures. There's something going on over there. But sometimes in the attic, it's probably the rats and raccoons, but I hear noises in the building when it's dark. And you know, it's a fun vibe, especially when you're mixed with Mothman artwork and then Fallout video games that hold the same creatures. But yeah, they came over in the evening, hung out at the game store, and then they ended up going to Bellamy Bridge and it was really flooded. So they had a nice, you know, historical night around Mariana, but they left their bag of books in my store. So I snatched that right up. No, I took it and I was like, hey guys, you know, I can meet up or I'll see you in June at the next conference. I can always drop it off then. But they're like, oh no, let's meet up for breakfast and do some adventuring. So I was like, all right. And yeah, we were going to go at the Waffle Iron, which is another little cool haunted spot, but it was closed on Sundays. Doesn't make sense. I thought that was the diner day. But then we went to the Waffle House, which, of course, that's a staple in everybody's early mornings. But we had some crazy conversation there. And then I took them on a little tour, underground tour, because everybody's heard of Dozier School, Bellamy Bridge, and even the Florida State Caverns. But less people have talked about Alamo Cave and the nuke silos and then a couple abandoned churches and haunted graveyards. So we did a little short tour. I showed them where we filmed the Void Cat. We talked about some ghost stories at St. Luke's Baptist Church and then St. Luke's Episcopal Church. And we bounced the stories off one another. And it was really cool because we actually feel like we kind of maybe got to the bottom line of it. You know, one, it's a church that the guy ran in after the Bible and he caught on fire, but he saved the Bible. But that one doesn't look like it was too arsoned, you know. And then you go to the other St. Luke's and that one's collapsed and fallen in. It's like, whoa, maybe that story happened over here and it all just integrated down the hill. But man, it was like LeBron James playing against Michael Jordan, you know, and they were sharing each other's tips. It was just so cool, so amazing. This is what I do it for. Goosebumps, you know, and I can't wait to go visit them and see their neck of the woods and just take the backseat ride to their tour. But that's exactly what I live here for. And I came all the way from Ohio and, you know, moved to Lakeland and joined a punk rock musical and then toured around dodgy and dingy and haunted Tampa Bay bars. But then, you know, my mom moved here to the Panhandle and my life slowed down, luckily, from the rock star lifestyle. And I came out here and hearing it from Mark. Mark is like, Mariana is up there with St. Augustine. It's up there with Skinwalker Ranch. It's up there with whatever you want to compare it to, haunted or paranormal wise. And it's the Mecca. So, you know, I knew that, I could feel that, but hearing that from another, you know, investigator, researcher, prominent author, that really just, all the stars shine brighter in the sky right there, because it really aligned me here. Because I still remember pulling off the first time getting to the exit to this place and be like, oh my God, this is the middle of nowhere. And now I drive around and it's my kingdom. It's my playground. It's everything I've been looking for. It found me. So yeah, it's awesome to live it, breathe it, read it, and see it unfold tenfold. And it's an amazing feeling.
Well, yeah, and that's the amazing thing about Florida. I mean, you've got a sprawling metropolis cities, you know, you've got Orlando, and then you go to a place where Mark is, you know, like St. Augustine, and it's like one of the oldest places on the continent, right? And then you go to the middle of the Everglades and you're actually maybe possibly going to have a Bigfoot experience. So it's pretty incredible.
Yes, yes. We are definitely spoiled down here. And that's, you know, there's a reason why there's Native American mounds at every turn, the Spanish set up forts at every river and, you know, high area around the state. And then think about the mound builders and the sun worshipers and the skunk apes and even the Tennessee Titans that come down when it's too cold in the winter up there. So it's amazing. It's a convergence. And then, you know, Creature from the Black Lagoon was filmed here. There's rumors of volcanoes, Pensacola serpents. And yeah, that's kind of what we're getting into with, you know, monsters and mysteries around the corner. And then my next one that we're going to be releasing, Panhandle Pirates, because everywhere around here, there is treasure, but there's also monsters and Kraken.
Love me some pirate stories, dude. Okay, so, and before we move on, the three books that I mentioned that are out already, and of course, Erie Road Trip with Connor Flynn, 314, is based off of Erie Swamp's Road Trip to Eden. That was the first book that we put out. And then Big Brother Bigfoot. And of course, the latest one out is Monsters and Mysteries Around the Corner. And there is a nice little Easter egg right on the cover, you know, and something that Jeff and I, we wouldn't do this, of course, because I don't think other authors, at least some of them, may not really like it, but we thought we were kind of comical, is we said we should put Connor on every single cover, somewhere on the cover or the back cover as an Easter egg.
It fits, because I'm part of this world. You know, I'm not on the outside looking in and documenting. I'm here in the mud with these creatures. They know of me. I know of them. I'm in the thick of it. So yes, 100%. But that first one that they really snuck me into, of course, you know, I love it. You know, I'm upstairs peeking out, UFO activity, Grassman is near. It's right at home. You know, I feel like I'm exactly where I need to be. And that will be a perfect reminder of it. And hopefully people, you know, get a laugh of it too, because again, I am in this and people somewhat enjoy me as a creature, as an entity, as a character, as just myself though. But I have became, you know, Connor, the cryptid guy, or the Bigfoot guy here at the comic book store. You know, they're like, oh yeah, the long haired Bigfoot guy, that guy. And everybody knows who they're talking about at that point. But Yeah, I can't wait to see Panhandle Pirates. You know, maybe I'm going to have an eye patch and a wooden leg, but hopefully a couple mermaids on my side too.
Dude, mermaids, parrots, we're going to have you covered, and not everything and anything having to do with that is going to end up on that cover. The sky is the limit for that one, I think. Yeah, because, you know, you're an author, and as you said, sometimes you do slow down enough to put pen to paper, but mostly, yes, you're a researcher. Of course you are, but I see you mostly as an explorer because you are one of the people in this field that you're, of course, you're in an area that you can do this, which is amazing, but you are more boots on the ground than I think most people out there. And you, your work, your schedule, all of those things, you're just waiting to get out there for the next adventure. That's how I see you.
Definitely, definitely. And I appreciate that coming from a fellow explorer. You know, we see each other, of course. But yes, I pride myself on diving into the locations that the people have not been, or documenting places that are hard to get to or right before they're gone. I have filmed or wrote about places that are no more anymore. And then same thing with the Dozier School. Mark and Carrie came up, you know, they have to play it a little safe, of course. They drove about 9 hours here. They didn't want to get locked up.
Right.
Me, you know, once I scouted from their footage, I was like, all right, I know what to do. So I was able to go in, you know, pretty much all the buildings and do what I want with, of course, the ultimate respect coming from deep in my heart, and then also coming for research for the people that have no voice, that have been covered up in the Dozier School. You know, there's more than 300 witnesses or survivors that came forward with their story, and some people still, you know, deny that it's ever happened. So I'm going to be that loudmouth, whatever, trespasser to tell the stories because, hey, it will live on, and I can suffer the, you know, deal with the consequences. But again, I've talked to, you know, most of the sergeants and sheriffs in the area, and they are well aware that I'm just a documenter. I'm just an explorer. I'm an author trying to bring back this town's history. And most don't have a problem with it. And if I have footage that shows that I didn't break anything, then hey, we'll run to the bank with that. But yeah, it's a mixture of exploring and then also preserving too, because I am all about this all living on for much longer. Because I've seen buildings that I've liked fail to be named as landmarks and then boom, demolished. So if I can have anything to do with it, if my books or if my silly TikToks or if a YouTube video, or even if I can write, be the one to petition to the mayor or to the council, I'll do it. I have nothing better to do than to fight for what's right. You wake me up any time of the day for that.
Yeah, Dozier School has been well documented because of Mark's visits to ITF. Of course, it's a place where many children were abused, murdered. They found, of course, essentially mass graves on the site. It's a horrible, horrible place. Do you know after they demolish it, or is there going to be some kind of a memorial place there?
I know they're planning to keep the White Building where all the atrocities happened. That already is protected by the state. And then they do have a plaque like right in the center. And then they're building a new academy. So I'm sure it will live on through that. But I'm guessing that they're going to try to sweep it under the rug the best they can, because even with all the documentaries and all the discoveries, it's still hush-hush around here. I've talked to, you know, family members of coworkers or of staff there, or of people that were kept there. And the stories, it's terrible. And Mark has done a great job of shedding light on just some of the darkness there. But man, yeah, we have to continue to fight for these children and fight for the unspoken.
When you got to wonder, even though they're going to keep the White Building, but they're going to build this new academy being built on that land, I wonder if then that brand new building is going to have some of the old energy and some of the haunts that have gone in some of the other buildings, right?
Oh, 100%. I think it's something like a mockery. I think the bad hardships are going to continue. They're going to put, they're going to help adults now. I think it's just more of the cycle continuing it. We hear it at Sunland. We hear about it at the Chattahoochee Hospital. We hear about it up in Canada. There is tons of these boys' schools and asylums that are supposed to be treatment centers, but they're actually like modern-day slavery camps. And we have to continue to fight for them. And it's beyond paranormal. It's pure evil. So we have to wipe evil out with just goodness. And I think positivity, of course, will always flourish. But in these days of confusion, and while things are so black and white, we have to bring that color back to life and establish hope and in that heart that we've kind of lost in the last, you know, 2.5 years.
Absolutely. Well, Connor, what do you say we jump in here? And I know that first up, we've got a place called Tate's Hell Swamp.
Yes, yes. That is one of my favorite spots. And I'm lucky that I could even have this conversation, because some people that have entered Tate's Hell Swamp have not continued living. And it all goes back to C.B. Tate. After a long time, Jebediah Tate, his father, had a kinship with a chief, with a medicine man in the forest, that they had an agreement that if he brought one pig a season and didn't go into the cursed cypress swamp, he would flourish. His farm would be fine. Well, of course, Jebediah had a son, C.B. Tate. C.B. helped him on the farm for many years, and they abided by this rule. You know, they did not break the curse. Well, of course, Jebediah passed away. C.B. ended up getting married. His wife didn't like pigs, so wanted a cow. He went into the cursed swamp. Of course, he broke the rule, and then he stopped giving the pig to the medicine man. Double no-no. So he was cursed and didn't have the protection of the Native Americans anymore. And his dog ran after a panther, and he chased after it, was stuck in the cypress swamp for 7 days. He saw swamp giants and a mysterious Amazonian woman that actually took care of him every single night. But he, about fifth of the seventh day in there, he was bit by a venomous snake. They said probably a water moccasin, a pit viper. He was hallucinating for 48 hours straight, seeing demons and shadows creeping and crawling after him, crawling from inside these tree trunks, and he was seeing things in the sky. Luckily, it led him to, I'm not sure if it was a town or just an opening that someone ended up finding him. He told the story that he was just in hell for 7 straight days and then soon died after that. And it's always been remembered as Tate's Hell Swamp. And there's been tons of researchers and people that went in with ghost boxes trying to communicate with CB or just the curse above him. And I just love that story because, you know, hell, devil's elbow, devil's pond, the devil's in the details. Sometimes you just pick it on the map and they find you. And right when I moved here, Tate's Hell Swamp just like overcame me. And I was always drawn to that spot, but really didn't have much chance to go in there. And then finally, something just called out to me, and I went out there, and I was in the swamp for like 2.5 hours in the rain, hearing voices. I actually recorded a couple EVPs. I took pictures of some deer that we don't know if they're actually deer that far in the swamp. Found some footprints, and then I recorded like 2.5 hours of video, broke it down to 1.5 hours. It's pretty much done and ready as a film. But yes, you can read about it in both of my books, Panhandle Pirates and Monsters and Mysteries Around the Corner. I touch on it. But again, my whole journey is so reflective and also maybe pre-planned by destiny. So sometimes when I'm just living this, I feel like I'm looking around and I'm like, is this being written? Is this already out here? I feel like I'm in the Truman Show, or Philip Seymour Hoffman in New York. It's an amazing place. But yeah, I'm very lucky to survive Tate's Hell Swamp, and I definitely recommend people to go check it out when they're in the Panhandle. But what's really, really, really cool is it's a state forest, and it's right next to a national forest, the Apalachicola National Forest, which is no stranger to weirdness. It is a weird place to begin with. Kevin Saunders had a Sasquatch encounter there that is one of the best ones on Bigfoot Odyssey. It was a female Sasquatch that came to his camp and started speaking to him through mind speak, telepathy, and brought him out, isolated him, and then actually showed herself to him. And they continued building a rapport over the hunt. And she warned him of the guy he was with. And she actually brought him to her parents, and they congratulated him on being an actual good human being, but then said that the guy that was with, the heart is dark. And he didn't really pay much attention to it. Later years, he saw that guy ended up burning him really bad. The Sasquatch knew. And that story's always kind of spoke out to me, because I'm all about this. I'm in it, you know, and I catch glimpses and blurs and weird things in my mind, but no direct mind speak from female Sasquatches. So again, when I was out there, I had that in mind, and I, you know, that girl may still be out there, and hopefully I am pure in my heart and worthy. So it's an interesting mission. And then again, my buddy Donnie Miller has told me plenty of stories about there, about windshields being broken through during, you know, the camp. They're in their tent and they wake up to that. He's also been pelted with sticks and stones in that area, and then saw basketball sized orbs that ended up kind of like shape shifting into, I wouldn't say humanoids, but figures. And it's very, very interesting. So when I'm with all that knowledge and it's raining out there and I'm all alone, and then the only people that are around are crazy locals that I've kind of got to be worried about, like Deliverance or Without a Paddle, I feel it. I become C.B. Tate in the old days. I feel like I'm in hell. But thank God, you know, the skies didn't rain down and I survived, and it was a hell worth managing. And it was a great adventure, and definitely can hear more about it on my video, read more about it in the books, but feel it one day if you guys ever visit Panama City. It's not far from there. So you got paradise in one hand, and then, oh my gosh, the dooms of hell in your left hand. It's a very interesting place.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And that hour and a half video is on your YouTube channel, Bigfoot Anon?
It's not out yet. It will be out in the next few weeks.
Awesome.
I have probably like 50 hours worth of unreleased content. It's all a nice little science, you know. I'm doing some nice interviews like this one. I did Bigfoot Crossroads. I got a couple of nice interviews, so I like to release a video right after I get some momentum like that. And just so that way, you know, the 20 people that find me, they get hit with some fresh information. Just like this weekend, I'm releasing 2-egg stump jumper. That's another Sasquatch creature around here that I got to cast a footprint of. And it's one of my favorites just because of the name, of course, the town. 2-egg. Everybody takes pictures of that street sign, of course.
I would imagine so. That is very unique. Okay, so I have a few questions about Tate's Hell Swamp. And the first one would be in reference to the original story, the original legend. This is something that popped into my head, and I'm not trying to explain one thing with another. I just wanted to get your thoughts on this. You mentioned that he ran into an Amazonian woman. Do you think there is any way, shape, or form that could have been a female Bigfoot?
Yes, it definitely could be a female Bigfoot. Some, like, nature, forest girl that just gives off the vibe of Amazon, because that's maybe all he could pull from, you know, just from art. But yeah, it could have definitely been a female Sasquatch. That's how I actually see it, is just a wild woman, because I very doubt that a African woman is here in the Panhandle swamps. But hey, possible. Yeah, I've seen stranger. But yes, I think it was a wild Sasquatch woman.
And lately, especially with my patron members, because I just had a lady named Debbie on from my very last episode. She has some kind of fae, elemental activity, haunting activity all at once going on. And then via one of my patrons, and I still need to find his picture, it's been this whole thing with these weird deers. And it's really synchronistic that you said that. Can you describe a little bit more about this weird deer that was in Tate's Hell Swamp?
Yes. The phenomenon recently is called not deer or spicy deer or, yes, weird deer. And it's pretty crazy because one of my friends, Jeter, he actually shot one less than 40 miles from here, so not too far from Tate's Hell. He shot this deer in the chest up in Georgia, and it just looked at him and screamed like a man, and it reverberated his chest. And then it ran off pretty much unfazed. So I've heard so many of these stories through Swamp Dweller. He's done a good job of collecting all these weird stories. And we've all heard like the Wendigo and maybe shapeshifters. So these deer maybe take different forms, or these demons take forms of these deer, maybe get closer to us. But yeah, it was very interesting because I was running the ghost box and I jumped two deer, and I actually mentioned in the video about them possibly being spicy deer and them not being what they seem. And it's really strange because all of us have seen deer on the side of the road or passing by, and it's nothing. We think nothing of it. But then you start hearing these stories, and then you start thinking, wow, like what are the possibilities that all of those six deer that I looked at, one that kind of turned back and, you know, gave a look, maybe there was something behind them. And they say, you know, the chronic waste disease makes these deer act crazy. And I've seen videos of them falling over, looking like zombies, or coming right up to humans, or, you know, decaying, rotting away their flesh. So it's just a very interesting phenomenon. And yeah, when I jumped the two deer, I definitely had a vibe that they weren't just natural friends, but they ran in the opposite direction, so I was happy. But even a natural deer, you have to watch out about antlers, of course, but their hooves, they'll cut you. They could kill you. They could knock you out. So even something as silly as a deer or a beaver or a badger or a raccoon, you have to, you know, treat it with caution, but sometimes it's not as what it seems, because these skinwalkers and rituals can turn these creatures into something much stranger and darker, way more in heart.
And what kind of footprints did you end up finding out there?
Some large footprints. They were probably like 15 to 16 inches long, barefoot. You can see like the big toe. It was a right footprint. I took pictures of it. I got it on video. But you could see the big toe imprint, and it looked like a pretty old print. And I'm glad I got it, because it rained while I was there and pretty hard that night. So that footprint was long gone by morning. But yes, I got it documented, and it was a large bare footprint. But I just footprints I've gotten just around here. I've gotten 3-toed prints, 4-toed prints, and then the 5-toed human looking prints. And that looked like the biggest human looking print I have found in this area.
And what about the voices that you got? Were they male, female, a little bit of both? And were they actually answering questions? You know, was it in relation to what you were asking?
Yes, it was male, female. There was beast and animal voices too, and weird whispers. Some were direct responses. Some were like calls in the back. I let the ghost box run for like 15 minutes. I was only talking to it for about 5 minutes. And then I was just fighting through the forest, letting it play. And in that, I love, you know, communicating with it in the spot. But, you know, I'm looking for cottonmouths. I'm looking for Sasquatch. But I'm also, you know, picking up on it. But when I'm recording with the ghost box, that's for my Amber's Paraworld. That's for my Through the Veil Paranormal, all my medium friends, so that they can watch it and they can decipher it. And hopefully they can get me more messages. And you know, I love listening to it at night and deciphering it later too. So that's a beautiful thing. But I know there's programs out there that can isolate voices and stuff, but it's very interesting and it's very important just to capture it and document it and to be in that location at that time. And some people, even Mark, you know, he was laughing about the ghost boxes and stuff. He's like, man, it's just mumbo jumbo, you know. I don't run to the bank with it either. It's just another tool. I'm definitely more a hands-on guy. But again, if I can get something that we can decipher later, that's data. And any data gets us forward on this mission.
Yeah, I'm in you guys' boat with the whole EVP thing. It has to be spectacular, and it has to really kind of be in correlation with what's going on at the moment for me to get pretty darn excited about it. But still cool and important to document, as you mentioned. So, you know, you mentioned it was a state forest. You've got national parks. You've got all of these locations. People do go missing. It is just part of life. But have there been any strange disappearances modern day, you know, in the last 20, 30, even 40 years, slightly modern day, that have been odd in relation to Tate's Hell Swamp?
Not that I've really heard about. But that's the thing. There is a lot of drug farmers around here and just illegal immigrants. So a lot of them wouldn't get documented, of course. But in my research, I haven't found anything recently. I wanted to like reach out to even David Pilatus or Steve Stockton, see what they found. But no, I haven't found anything recent. But at Ocheesy Pond, I have heard of a couple kids being kidnapped by creatures, but none being fatal or forever. The kids end up escaping. So how I see those situations is it's kind of like a playful thing. You know, it's not a right thing, but these creatures are just grabbing up these kids in a playful manner and then realizing that they messed up later. And I think some of these 401 cases are like that. But sometimes these Sasquatch are too rough, or maybe the people get scared to death, or maybe the GHB levels take over. Maybe it's a little bit mixture of both. But no, I haven't heard any recent disappearances in Tate's Hell, but I don't think there, that doesn't mean there aren't any.
Right.
Because when I was out there, it's so desolate. If I went missing, it would take a while to find me, and people knew I was going there. So let alone no one had a clue people were going out there. It would be rough. Especially with all the predators out there, the bear, the mountain lion, even the raccoons and the bobcats, you know, I'm sure, a corpse or a carcass out there would be picked clean pretty quick.
Right. Yeah, you wouldn't last long at all. Now, this Ocheesy Pond situation, when the kids came back, were they old enough to say what had taken them? What did it look like?
The details are very scarce. 2EGG TV put out a 3-part documentary series just within the last year, and they said it was just young children. I'm pretty sure they made it clear that it was a wild man. There was none of these misidentifications like, oh, it was a bear that took care of me through the night and brought me berries. I think it was pretty clear it was the wild man. I think the kids and the people around there all knew about the Sasquatch story, of course. And for anybody that doesn't know about my favorite Sasquatch story, it's something I think that pulled me along, you know, coming from Ohio, loving Bigfoot my whole life. What are the odds that now me and my two kitty cats live right down the stream from my favorite Bigfoot story? So yes, in 1873, the Ocheesy Pond Wild Man was harassing women and children at this swamp village. so much that the Native American gatherers and the Civil War veterans had to team up together and surround this creature. And there's an area called the Devil's Half Acre. Again, the devil's in the details. But they netted this creature, and then they sent it to the capital, to Tallahassee. And the governor said, "No way, Jose." Sent to Chattahoochee Hospital. And Chattahoochee is known for cruel and unusual punishment and crazy experiments and good facilities. They have tunnels underneath and it goes all the way to the river. It's a really crazy place, very haunted too. Gary Oldman actually made a movie about it called Chattahoochee. Definitely recommend it. But yes, they kept him there for 3 years. They had a file on him and everything. But rumor is that he passed away and they buried him with a bunch of other Native Americans with Andrew Jackson's slave camp. And then they put a building on top of him. Other people say they built him, they put him out in the woods, and then there's a golf course near it. I've got to roam the grounds many times because one of my good friends is the IT guy there and lives on campus. So every time I get to visit him, it's a hardcore research day. We're looking for the grave of the Ochezi Pond Wild Man. But there is a chance maybe he escaped through the tunnels or maybe they let him go. But one thing for certain is that his descendants still lurk today. I've talked to plenty of witnesses. I've gotten footprints myself. I've had a lot of strange feelings in that area. And then right across the river from Ochezi Pond is Torreya State Park, where Stacy Brown got the 9-foot skunk ape thermal footage. And then I've also recorded a weird thing wading through a creek, like the sound of it, and then also a rock or a boulder being thrown behind us on the trail. So I've had my fair share of strange stuff in that corner. But again, it all goes back to the first book, The Garden of Eden. It's a 15 square mile area that all that falls into, 27 to 28 trees in the Bible, gopher wood that Noah used to build the ark, the only place it grows in the whole wide world, right there. So it's like where it all started, where it all ends, where I am now. It's a very interesting place, and it all connects with Cain, Esau, the Nephilim, the sky, the UFO, the extraterrestrials, Eve, Adam. It all connects, and it's very interesting to live it and to breathe it, and I feel like I'm like a beacon, like I was brought here for a reason, to spread the word, to spread the message.
All right. And speaking of spreading the word, we're going to move from Florida and we're going to go to Evergreen, Alabama for even more Bigfoot talk.
Yes, yes. That is my favorite spot of 2021 or 22, whatever year we're in right now. I feel like I've escaped the matrix and I'm just pulling out the goo. I can't be required to know what year and day it is. But yes, Evergreen, Alabama is the town that loved Bigfoot. There's a documentary about it. And I watched that documentary back in Ohio, I'm pretty sure, or maybe when I lived in Lakeland. I'm not sure. But before I ever had it on my actual map of visiting. But yes, Evergreen, Alabama has a statue right in the center of town. The Congress actually voted on it. You go to Waffle House, they accept you with open arms. It was an amazing experience. But we were visiting my friend Kenny, who goes by Flat Rock Booger on YouTube. And he has had tons of strange activity, a lot of mild stuff, a lot of extreme stuff, and then stuff that is R-rated. Sadly, his brother's dog got killed. His mom's house has gotten broken into by these creatures. And they've had people have to move out of the house because these boogers get so bad. But he's gotten footage of them banging on the side of his house, whooping, yelling, going, "Hey!" He's gotten UFO footage, a lot of strange activity. So he was calling for us to come visit for the longest time. And I've tried to line it up with my buddy Tristan. A lot of stuff just fell through, and it just wasn't right. And then luckily, my buddy Matt Williamson from Squatchin', South Florida, now Supernatural Spectrum, he's making a documentary called From Fear to Understanding. And it actually all started back in Myakka at the Crawley Museum, where we had crazy activity, things being thrown at our tents, chattering, knocks. We found hair, found an awesome six-toed footprint. And that kind of sparked a wild adventure. Then we went to the Green Swamp, had an awesome knocking interaction that Matt would knock, it would knock back. Matt would creatively knock, it would creatively knock back. It was like challenging and got it all on video, on like three different videos. It was amazing. So that was part one, part two, and then part three was him on the road. So we had to go to Evergreen, Alabama, the capital, the place that's been calling us for so long. And man, it did not disappoint. We got tons of great footage for our awesome documentary, From Fear to Understanding. Actually just saw the first trailer last night, the first cut of it, and I was blown away, super excited. I'm like, oh man, I forgot we did all that. But there's a really cool place called Burnt Corn Creek that is really famous, has some cool encounters that we got to explore. And then another place called Murder Creek, that there was a lot of Native American lore and history and ghosts and owls, but then there's also wild man sightings within the past few years. So we camped at my buddy Kenny's house, right where all these Sasquatch encounters have been happening. And he's actually had investigators on his property the past year, and they all camp on his property right by his house. Well, us three, me, Matt Williamson, and Tyler Howell Outdoors, former policeman, really knows what he's doing outside. He's kind of like the John Wayne of the group, protector, you know. We all slept far into the woods. We took a golf cart for about 3 to 5 minutes and then set up camp. So we were right in the thick of it. It was an amazing experience. And the first night, we recorded weird chatter that it might be the next Sierra sounds, because we had a parabolic dish that we got them singing. And then we also got them grunting at the dog, because what they would do is they'd try to get the dogs to bark, so that way they knew where the dogs were, because they would, you know, the dogs would sneak around, and I'm sure they could, you know, somewhat sense them. But if they could get them to bark, they could get them go over here, and then they could maybe move over to the right side. So it was really cool to be around the fire and watching all this unfold. But yeah, the first night in the tents were pretty wild, pretty mild. You know, it was cool. But the second night, Tyler, the guy with the firearm, he left. So I went in one tent, Matt went in one tent, and Matt, he takes sleeping beds. So when he's out, he's out. Night two, he was out at 11 o'clock. So basically, I was out there in booger territory all night, basically alone, even more than alone, because if I was alone, I could just do what I had to do. Now I got to, you know, wake him up and try to protect him and get him back to safety if anything happens. But it was wild. In the middle of the night, I heard something really heavy rage past the tent. And I actually went, hey, kind of like the same tactic as the Sasquatch. I wasn't trying to scare it, wasn't trying to do really much. I was just trying to get it to double step real quick, so that way I could gauge where it was right then, like where it was now that I finally got my feelings back. And then the next hour after that was kind of weird. And we had voice recorders, a bunch of audio recorders around the tent. So I knew it was recorded. So I ended up passing back out somehow. That's another weird thing. Like, after you have weird experiences, you would think there's no way I would fall back asleep. And sometimes that's the case, but sometimes you doze right back off, and I feel like there's some kind of calming effect, and it's all in the vibrations. Or sometimes you just get scared back to sleep. But I wake up in the morning and I tell Matt about that. I'm like, man, something like ran past our tent. And I yelled at it. I'm like, we'll have to check back on the audio. He's like, bro, oh my gosh. He's like, I felt like my tent being lifted up, right in the middle of the night, man. Maybe it's around the same time. We go back and there's like a whirling, swirling sound around the same time in his tent. So he thinks that he was abducted by like aliens or something. He thought at first maybe he was lifted up by Sasquatch, like lifting his tent. But this was something more. This was something metaphysical, because he's actually had some dreams that connect to it now since. And he's talked to this girl, Phyllis Caesar, that speaks the alien language and communicates with these extraterrestrial guardians. It's very interesting stuff. So we went out there looking for flat rock boogers, and we ended up having an alien encounter. And I still don't know what, you know, ran past the tent, but I'm very interested to see the audio and how it all connects in the documentary. But man, I'm just lucky to be alive. But yeah, I don't think it's, I wasn't threatened or anything. When I yelled, it was just a gauge. It wasn't like dead on survival. It was more like, man, something's outside my room. Like, let me figure this out real quick. You know, it wasn't like, oh my God, there's a burglar. It was more mild. And he's been really like freaked out and messed up a little bit from all that. But me, it showed me that I can survive that. And if they wanted to, they would have took me off. So I don't have what they want. I ain't take their treasure this time. But it was an awesome experience. And Kenny and his brother, you know, cooked for us, gave us a place to stay. I'm very thankful for that. So again, I'm looking for all these strange creatures and old treasure, but I'm finding like real friends and real memories. And even in the midst of alien abductions, I'm still smiling through it.
That's all we can do, right? And of course, hope that you don't get drug off by a Bigfoot in the middle of the night and no one sees you again. That would be kind of a bummer.
It definitely would be a bummer. I would feel horrible for everybody that knows and appreciates me. But I am big on heaven. I know that if it was my time, I will see all y'all soon. One day in heaven is 1,000 years on earth. So it'd be like, I just got home from lunch. Like, what's up, y'all? But yeah, it would be pretty messed up, but maybe it would begin to raise awareness, but I definitely don't want to be that sacrifice. But I was definitely thinking about it, and we had a choice to be armed, and Kenny wanted us to stay in at his trailer the second night. We were like, nah, man, this is why we're out here. And then to be armed, I've used a firearm. I've haunted. I've passed classes before. But I've heard so many stories of these creatures getting inside your head and manipulating you. It's like, I don't want to open that can of worms, you know? I don't even want to open up possibilities of things going wrong. So, yeah, I'm all natural, and I can't wait to go back. And now after that experience, I feel confident I could be out there alone. Cause I, you know, no offense to Matt, I love him, but I felt alone once he was asleep anyway. So it was something. And I definitely recommend people go check out Flat Rock Boogers YouTube. He changed it down to Flat Rock now, just because he's like, they're the boogers. I'm not the booger, but he'll always be Flat Rock Booger to me. Another good friend I met at the first Great Florida Bigfoot Conference, and now it's transfolded into family, man. And it's a beautiful thing when you just be your true, authentic self. And some people gonna cast you away, some people gonna drag you down the cement, but others are gonna pick you up and feed you and gonna help you thrive and flourish. And that's the people that you have to find. That's your tribe.
I don't know about you, but I am super jealous of Matt and his sleeping skills. That is not something that I have ever possessed. And as I age, it gets worse. So good on you, Matt. In the middle of all this happening, he's just like snoring away. I don't know if he snores. I just made that up. But okay, so when will From Fear to Understanding be released? Do you know?
Yes, hopefully very soon. Definitely this summer, and I know that is like an open-ended thing, but he just gave me the trailer last night, so it is go time. Hopefully in the next few months. But yeah, it documents South Florida, like the Everglades area. He links up with Mark Zaski, Crypto Reality, and they've found some crazy giant Bigfoot skunk ape stuff down there, linking with and Men in Black and government. It gets really weird and electrical down there. But then also in Central Florida and Myakka, and his mom, Nonaboss Continuum, she's a medium. She's been around for all these journeys. She did come to Alabama, but she's in everything else. She's going to be in the movie too. And she has psychic abilities. And then also they use divinity rods, dowsing rods, to get answers and to communicate with extraterrestrials. So I'm super excited to see like all the evidence that collects. And I'm just really happy that I could bring my energy and effort, and all the deleted scenes will be fun to watch too. We stopped by Esto, Florida, home of Two-Toed Tom, my new favorite cryptid. It's a 20-foot long alligator with two toes, and he's eaten oxen, pig, donkey, and sadly even a little girl. The story is the farmer was like dynamiting this giant alligator out of the pond. Boom, 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 everything. Fish goes everywhere. And then they hear thrashing in the nearby pond. Sure enough, it's the gator took his granddaughter. It's like, oh, gosh. Guys, how did you guys mismanage this situation that bad? So hopefully that's one that it's more story than reality, but it's really fun. Two-toed Tom, we stopped by there. I'm the pit stop king. So I was like, dude, Esto, let's go check this real quick because there's like a swamp and a little forest. And I was like, let me make a video. And I just wanted it on my phone, throw it on TikTok real quick. He brings out like his camera rig and everything. And films it, which is really high quality, of course, and looks nice. But just a couple weeks ago, he's like, bro, I don't know if Two-Toed Tom video is going to make it into a documentary. You know, I don't want you to be offended. I'm like, bro, like, one, we filmed 10 hours worth of stuff. We can't fit it all in. And then two, I had my cell phone ready for that. I wasn't expecting it in the documentary. I'm like, send it over so I can release it. But I'm not rushing it. I'm still hoping it's going to be like at the end or during the credits. You're going to be like, yeah, Connor Flynn. And then it will be like, yeah, Two-Toed Tom. But I love it. So again, we're looking for Bigfoot, but we're finding aliens and giant alligators and everything in between, because when he came to town, of course I gave him the Bellamy Bridge, the Dozier School, all the caves, the whole rundown. And one thing, I did hurt my back really bad in Alabama, and man, I was so nervous that I was going to be like AFK or MIA the whole summer, but it came back. I've been stretching using like roll-ons, luckily bounced back, because man, I was very nervous. But it happened, of course, packing up and loading back up the truck, really heavy box that slipped. I tried catching it, ripped my back. It felt like, I'm like, oh my gosh, I survived Bigfoot and alien abduction, and then I get messed up doing petty human stuff. But that's the beauty of it, you know. It's
that's
just
how
like
it goes.
Driving home, you got to focus that last mile.
That's right, that's how it goes. You can be doing the coolest stuff on the whole planet, but you're I've dried my hair once and pulled my neck, and I'm like, well, that's a terrible story. I mean, that is not cool at all. But yeah, okay, so Connor, in closing, please let everybody know, let's talk about the Skunk Ape Conference coming up in June, and then of course where to find you, everywhere to find you, your videos and your books.
Yes, I am so excited for June. It's the Southwest Florida Skunk Ape Town Hall Conference. And Phyllis, the alien translator, is actually hosting it. And she is so rad. I met her in my ACA, and she already had a bunch of speakers already plotted. But then she met me and heard me around the fire. She's like, I need this guy. So she did this crazy like third eye transfer thing that like 2 a.m. she takes me over in the middle of the woods and like puts her head against mine and shares information like through telepathy. And it was very interesting and very cleansing. And she's done the same for Matt Williamson, Mike Aguilar, and a bunch of us Florida researchers. So I think that's what changes us. It makes us a little different than all the guys in Oregon or Oregon. But it's a fun adventure. But yeah, after my ACA, it's just been history and such a good companionship with Phyllis. She was on Haunted Hospitals, a really cool show that my mom watches. So it was just a little cool connection as well. But yeah, she asked me to be a speaker June 4th. Mark Muncie is going to be speaking. Stacey Brown, RPG from Expedition Bigfoot. Dave Sheely, the owner of the Skunk Ape headquarters. Marie DeMont, she's the head of the Mid-Florida research team. And a bunch of other cool Florida icons and researchers and just enthusiasts are going to be there. There's going to be tons of vendors, and there's a bunch of sponsors already, like jerky. So of course you can't go wrong without some Jack Link's jerky. But man, I'm just super excited to have my own platform, because when I spoke at the Great Florida Bigfoot Conference, I was part of a round table, and that was cool. I definitely took it over. But you know, still had to share the cookie. This one, I'm going to have the whole stage, and it's going to be crazy. And a lot of them are all Florida-based, Florida-born, you know, Florida lifelongers. So I feel like I'm going to bring a little bit of the extra pizzazz and jazz to it because I'm coming from the outside. I'm coming from Ohio, land of the Mothman, Lake Erie Monster, the Mud Mermaids, you know. They're going to hear enough of the skunk ape talk, so I'm going to have to bring what brought me to it, you know, a skunk ape researcher a vibe. So it's going to be really fun just to let loose. And first, my dad was going to be there because he lives down in the area, but he's been showing me flight prices is like $600. So at first I was going to have to be on my best behavior because I got to live with my dad's, you know, I don't know, respect or response to it. But now that my dad's not going to be there, woo, it's going to be crazy. It's just like my old concerts. I can let loose. But yeah, I'm just super excited to share tons of information and blow people's minds because once I'm up front of them and the doors are locked, they're gonna be mind blown for a good 30 minutes. They're gonna be begging me that I'm gonna have the hour session, but I'm just so looking forward to it. I'm gonna hit a couple other locations while I'm down there and then link up just with the other researchers, just because that's what I'm all about. I'm about sharing that information and bouncing vibes off one another and being inspired and inspiring others. But then that next weekend after that, like the 10th, June 4th, and then June 10th is the Alabama conference. And I'm hoping to go to that. I'm next up on the speaker list. If any of them drop off, they're going to take me. And me and a couple people got a good laugh out of that because, you know, if they've seen the footage or if they were there, you just make room, you know, you make room for the substitute. But we'll see. I'm super excited about the Alabama one. Again, just when they can get it live and direct, and I could hit them in the face with the book and show them some footprints and then have the envelopes of orange and green and black hair that we found, it's just going to make it all more real. And I hope it's more of an experience what people feel. They're not going to remember everything I say. They're probably not going to remember my name. But I just hope they remember how I make them feel, you know, even if it's just a glimpse of like, oh, that guy's crazy. Because everything is so predictable in this world nowadays and everything has it figured out. It's all math. It's all mathematics. You know, I hope I could be that anomaly. I hope I could be that change. I hope I could be that weird spark that hopefully makes people more comfortable to be themselves in that moment when it has to be done. Just because I'm trying to figure it out, too. But yeah, I'm super excited about June 4th. Mark Muncy, he's going to be braced and ready for it. He knows the vibe. But man, I can't wait to be live and direct. And it's going to be a busy summer. There's a bunch of other conferences, too. And anybody that's putting on a conference that's listening to this, if you want to put butts in the chairs, but also have those butts raise up because those people are just going to be standing and clapping the whole time. Hit my line, of course, email me. But yeah, I love it, man. And got a bunch of documentaries and movies coming out. I wrote a couple screenplays that we're picking the actors right now. So I'm Mr. Busy till I'm dizzy. And you guys can all find me on Amazon first, Connor Flynn, CONNORFLYNN. Probably a long lost descendant of Errol Flynn because he was an adventurer. He was an explorer. He was an actor. He was a writer too. So it's somewhere in my blood. But yeah, my books are Eerie Swamps, Road Trip to Eden, Big Brother, Bigfoot, Monsters and Mysteries Around the Corner. And then the next one is going to be The Panhandle Pirates. And all those are available on Amazon through Beyond the Fray. Awesome covers, very sick layout. It's a journey. It's a story about me, but it's also a reflection of you because we all come from the same source. And it's just a true, vulnerable person trying to figure out the truths that surround us and maybe that have been swept under the rug. But then also you guys can find me on YouTube, Bigfoot Anon. I am very active on there, have a great community. So when I release a premiere or go live, there's a lot of good people sharing information, very comfortable place to hang out. I invite all of you guys to come chill with us, of course. And then, of course, on TikTok, I think I'm at about 75,000 followers, well past 20 million views. I go live often on there. It's very cool. Bigfoot Anon or Bigfoot Anonymous, if you search that. But yeah, man, definitely check me out on TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, Bigfoot Anon, Twitter, I'm on there. I'm everywhere you look, but if you just Google Connor Flynn, you can find my books or my radio shows or my movies. Zillafoot, a movie I'm in, comes out, or it's actually out right now. It's on Amazon Prime for free, but it's also at Walmart, Best Buy, FYE, pretty much everywhere you can get movies. And then my werewolf movie comes out next month, The Void Cat, and I'm super pumped about that. It did very well at festivals, and I'm just really excited to see where that unfolds. We already have a sequel written, and it's going to turn into a whole world. I'm also filming a Fallout movie that I play a raider and a merchant. Two roles. But man, I just love living, writing, breathing, exploring, acting, and just meeting new people. And then also making people feel safe with their stories, because nothing is too far out or crazy for me. So you have a safe place to come with your crazy stories. You will never be rushed out or bummed out for it being too weird or too wacky, because that's me, man. That's life. That's how vibes are. And the whole woo and the paranormal, we're all supernatural. We've all felt love. We've all felt electricity, deja vu. We create worlds when we dream. When we were babies, we communicate with our parents through the walls. And our electrons can become particle form, solid, like we are right now, or waveform. So let's all just keep working, keep training till we can become waveform, because that's where our spirit comes from. And I just love living it, breathing it, preaching it, but I'm also just another student of the game, just trying to learn, barefoot in the grass, soaking up Mother Earth's vibes.
See, and this is why I love you and why I love having you on, because you hit me with lines like, hit them in the face with the book. I mean, what else can you say besides that, right? So there you go.
That's all
people need to know. You're going to hit them in the face with the book. So no, congratulations on the speaking event for the Skunk Ape Conference. And I'm hoping you get to Alabama Conference too, dude. That's amazing. But Connor, keep getting after it. I'm going to have you back on when Panhandle Pirates comes out. And good luck in your upcoming travels before I talk to you next.
Thank you so much, and I'm so excited for the future for you, me, and just everybody in the community, because we're getting closer towards the truth. We're upping the standards of knowledge, and just the awareness level is going up. Even moms and pops at the grocery store have heard Missing 411 or the Skunk Ape or the Mogollon Monster. So again, just be proud, you know, and have no shame in believing in paranormal and Bigfoot and strange stuff. And if weird stories happen to you, tell your truth, or at least write it down for your descendants to find it. Just don't forget it, you know, because we have so many thoughts. It's like 30 thoughts a second or some crazy number. So think how much is lost and forgotten. So just try to archive a little bit, just for yourself or for the future, for the world, just because writing down is therapeutic, talking about is therapeutic, being yourself is therapeutic. And authenticity is the thing that fuels me, man. And I challenge everybody just to be authentic and challenge yourself. And that's what I'm going to do today, tomorrow, and the rest of them.
Well, I'm so-and-so. I was given this name by my parents. I've been to such and such a college. I've done these things in my profession. I produce a little biography. The Buddha says, forget it. That's not true. That's some story. That's all gone. That's all past. I want to see the real you you are now. Well, nobody knows who that is, because we don't know ourselves except through listening to our echoes and consulting our memories. But then there's a real you, and that again leads us back to this question. Who are you? That is the real you. We shall see how they play with this exam. By the koans, to get you to come out of your shell and find out who you really are. We'll be right back. divided on us. They will say, no, we don't believe literally in reincarnation. That after your funeral, you know, you will suddenly become somebody different, living somewhere else. They will say, reincarnation means this, that if you sitting here now are really convinced that you're the same person who walked in at the door half an hour ago, you're being reincarnated. If you are liberated, you understand that you're not. The past doesn't exist. The future doesn't exist. There is only the present. That's the only real you that there is. The Zen master Dogen put it in this way. He said, spring does not become the summer. First there is summer, and then there is spring.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.